But Lord, this is really a time of the season that we should set aside time to look and to remember and meditate upon what you've done for us, the great gift, Father, of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we set aside this time and we celebrate his birth and his coming into the world. Lord, I pray that we would have an anticipation, Lord, that you would use us during this holiday season, Lord, if we're out shopping, if we're out having coffee, wherever it might be, Lord, to really bring forth the reason for this season. Now, Father, we lift up our pastor to you, and we pray your anointing, your blessing upon him. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you move sovereignly through him and upon us. We pray our hearts and our minds are ready to receive. Lord, we look forward to the instruction that we're going to receive this morning. We also pray, Father, for the teachers and the kids, too. I know we've prayed for them also. But, Lord, let your word go forth unchained. And, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Amen. I know a lot of times we put birthday names up there. I was informed that John Kennedy's got a birthday today. I was just thinking about that, and I'm thinking, hey, you never know. You may grow up to be president, right? With a name like John Kennedy, how could you go wrong? That's anyway, happy birthday, John. It's good. It's good seeing you coming out. Amen. Well, as you know, we all know, this past Thursday, you know, we celebrated Thanksgiving. One of my favorite things about Thanksgiving, besides all the great food, of course, we all like that, is the opportunity to spend time with our family and sort of reconnect. Like Pastor Don, you know, he said he likes to get together and talk, and he said a lot of times, you know, they'll get up and go afterwards. Well, I really like it when everybody stays around and talks. There's something special about, you know, everybody coming together and then you have this big spread of food out there, and you know, you just hang out and you nibble on things and you sit around and you talk and everybody jumps in and they bring stuff and then they help set it up and then they help clean up. This year, you know, I made sure that everybody else cleaned up, so you know, Carol didn't have to clean up because we spend a couple days getting ready, you know, and it's a lot of work, and it's so good when everybody else, you know, jumps in and does their part, and everybody did, and it was really good, and we just had a great time, and you know, it's a lot of work. I mean, Thanksgiving is a lot of work, and there's a lot of noise, you know, with everything going on and all the people in and out and all the kids running around and all the different stuff, and there's a lot of chaos and there's a lot of spills and mess and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? It's great. It's really great. It's just something that, you know, we keep those relationships alive, and that's important, you know, to keep the relationship with our family fresh and alive and welcoming in new members to our family, whether it's through marriage or babies coming in or whatever it might be, and maybe even inviting some friends over, and to have those, you know, those relationships ongoing and growing and building. That's important. And I still remember the great times, you know, that I had when I was a kid, and I used to go over to my grandma's, and all my cousins would be over and all my relatives, and we'd have a huge group of people. We'd have like, you know, 30, 40 people over there and a fire going. I was the keeper of the fire, you know, of course. Even when I was, 10 years old, I was already the one who was in charge of the fireplace. And, you know, we have those memories. You know, hopefully you have those kind of memories, because those shared memories are what bring families together when we do things like that together, and the work and the bringing the parts, getting involved in it, you know, doing something, cooking something, and helping around and doing all the stuff. It all works together, and it gives us a sense of stability. You know, we live in a world that is so fast-moving and so shifting and chaotic, and when we come together as a family for Thanksgiving or those kind of days, It brings some stability. It brings a sense of knowing who we are. And, you know, it brings us closer together. And that's important. And I can honestly say that I am happy for the Thanksgiving holiday. I'm thankful for the Thanksgiving holiday because of what it does for us as families. You know, and I feel the same way about our Christmas banquet. You know, I really do. I think that that's something that, you know, as a family, as part of the church, we need to try to come together for things like that and have times where we don't just come in for the meeting and then go. It's important to build that sense of community, that those relationships, to spend time, find ways to get together with one another, whether it's hanging out after church for coffee and donuts, coming together. You know, that's a special time. Maybe coming to different meetings, to the women's ornament exchange, things like that, the men's meeting on Tuesday, home meetings, all those build. We're building family, community. We're building, you know, a sense of purpose and a belonging. And it's part, you know, it's an important part of being a Christian. And as much as I've always loved Thanksgiving, it wasn't until I became a Christian that I really began to understand the importance of thankfulness. You know, being thankful or having an attitude of thankfulness is not only important for our own well-being, and it is. It really is important for us to be thankful people. But being thankful is also important for our relationship with God. It really is, more than you would think. Thankfulness will actually help us to draw closer to God. It will, and we're going to see how. God's Word is filled with the idea of thankfulness. In fact, I want to ask somebody to do me a favor. Matt, could you do me a favor? You know that cabinet upstairs there we have all the Bibles in that we use for Bible studies? Could you go grab me four of those? Or I was just going to have young Matt do it here. He'll take care of it. Just bring them up and then sit up here in the front row with them when you come back. That's going to be coming up in a few minutes. As I said, God's Word is filled with the idea of thankfulness. It's not something that, you know, was dreamed up by Dr. Ruth or Ann Landers or what's that other doctor that's out now and all these different people, these psychologists. It wasn't just something that somebody said, well, this would be a good idea if we learn how to be able to be. No, this is something God ordained, God devised, God made, God put inside of us, something that actually God requires. Having a thankful heart, having a thankful attitude, is the way that God designed us to be. The kind of thankfulness that the Bible is talking about is, if you could just maybe sit up here with those, it's an expression of appreciation, gratitude, even joy. You know, it's expressed towards God. I mean, we can be thankful to all kinds of people, you know, as they do things for us, but what's really important is to have a thankful attitude towards God. Because He's the giver of every good gift and every good thing. The Bible is very clear that we are to be thankful. I'll read a couple scriptures to you. Colossians chapter 2, 6 and 7 says, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." Overflowing with thankfulness. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." It's God's will for us to give thanks in all circumstances. Hebrews 12:28. "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken," the kingdom of God cannot be shaken. Doesn't matter what it looks like around us. Doesn't matter when we see the rising and the falling of nations, peoples, even in our own self sometimes. The kingdom of God is not falling apart. The kingdom of God will not be shaken. It cannot be shaken. Let us be thankful Let me read that again. Therefore, since we are receiving that cannot be shaken, a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. So according to that scripture, what it's telling us there is that we can't even worship God acceptably unless we have a thankful heart. We can't really give God the worship that we should unless we have a thankful heart. It's like we're not recognizing Him for who He is, for what He's done, for all He's done for us. How can we thank somebody if we don't ever recognize or express our appreciation for what they've done? In 1 Chronicles, we find that when David had set up the Ark of the Lord, he appointed priests to pray, to praise, and to give continual thanks day and night. And that day, the very day that he set that up and set that into place and caused those priests to begin to start to do that, David, who God himself, remember, called a man after his own heart, he wrote a psalm of thanks to the Lord. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 7. That day, David first committed to Asaph and his associates, the priests there. He gave them this psalm. This was one of the things. Now he's saying, all right, I wrote this, guys, and we're going to use this. We're going to start using this to praise God, to thank Him. This is one of the things that I want you to start using. He gave to Asaph and his associates this psalm of thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, call on His name. Make known among the nations what He has done. Sing to Him, sing praise to Him. Tell of all His wonderful acts. Glory in His name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always. Remember the wonders He has done, His miracles and His judgments that He has pronounced. And then moving down, I'm not going to read all of it, moving down to verse 34 through 36, it says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, O God, our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations that we may give thanks to Your holy name. Rescue us so that we can give thanks. Save us so that we can give thanks and praise to You. That we may give glory in Your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen, which means so be it. We'll do it. Praise the Lord. These were the kind of psalms that were read aloud day after day by the priests before the Ark of the Lord. Songs of praise and thanksgiving. David wanted God's praise to be a continual feast going forth, just like His blessings and His mercy come towards us continuously, and they do. I wouldn't want God's blessings to stop. I wouldn't want His mercy to stop coming at me. So we need to thank Him for His blessings and His mercy. You know, did you ever notice if you do something for somebody and they're totally unappreciative, that after a while you just really don't feel like doing as much for them? So I wouldn't want God to not do anything. Fortunately for us, God is not like vindictive in a sense like that, where we mess up, He writes us off, because He loves us. He's way more faithful than we are. But still, we need to thank Him for what He's done for us. Renee, I didn't know you were here. Hi. Howdy. You fixing to sit down? All throughout God's Word, we're called to be thankful. Without an attitude of gratitude, as people might say, toward God, we don't really see Him then as someone that we want to come close to. You see, as we begin to thank Him, as we begin to see Him as someone who is worthy of thanks, then we want to draw closer to Him. And that's what we've been talking about all throughout this year. When we take the time and we begin to count our blessings, as you may have heard a phrase like that, as people say, we begin to see that God's love towards us has no bounds. His love toward us is endless. It's just, His mercies are new every morning. His blessings just pour out. His love is just poured out. It's like an avalanche. I think there's a song like that. Something about your love is an avalanche or something like that. It just keeps pouring out. When we begin to recognize all that He's done for us, then gratitude and thankfulness becomes a joy, a pleasure to have gratitude, to be thankful. And it's not a chore. It's not an obligation. Oh, I got to thank God. I mean, if somebody does something wonderful for us, do we think, oh, now I got to go thank them? I hope not. I mean, if somebody does something really great for us, I mean, it just comes out of us, doesn't it? It just sort of oozes out like, wow, I hope it does. I hope we have that kind of an attitude where we can be thankful. And you know what happens? It only amplifies the blessing when we express it back. Think about that. You know, when God does something for us, and then we go to Him in thanksgiving, and because we're going over it again, because we're returning, you know, He's done something good for us, and now we're returning praise, it begins this cycle where we're relating, and we're relating in a thankful, with a thankful manner, and we're seeing His blessing come, and it sort of amplifies what He's done. It makes it even greater. Because now we're seeing it again, and then as God opens up our heart and we draw closer to Him, we understand even more who He is and what He's like. The reasons to be thankful are almost endless. I mean, we can be thankful just for the fact that there really is a God. And we weren't just a product of a lightning bolt in a pile of mud and water. We're not an accident. That God actually decided to create us. That He actually cares about us. Not only did He create us, but He loves us. Man, He actually loves us. He cares about His creation. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. He didn't just create you with no purpose and just sort of toss you out there. God sent His Son to die for us. He so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son, Jesus, so that none of us would have to perish. That's something to be thankful about. That our sins have been forgiven. I mean, that's something to be thankful about. That not only are they forgiven, not only is the debt paid, but God says, I'll remember them no more. They're gone. They're done. The fact that we're going to heaven, that we're going to be able to spend eternity, not just, you know, we don't just spend our 50, 60, 80, 90 years and raise grandpa's case 104 years now on this earth. How long is he going to go? Gee whiz, 104 years. Man, that's a long time to be here on earth, isn't it? But it's a drop in the bucket when we start talking about eternity. Seriously. We can be thankful that God has revealed Himself to us through His Word, and He continues to reveal Himself to us through His Holy Spirit, and He touches us. He actually makes Himself known to us. He's given us His Holy Spirit, a gift, a wonderful gift. He's given us this church, our church, to belong to, and for others, you know, their church. God's given us food and clothing, shelter, You know, I mean, all the things that we have, God has brought us into a family of believers. He's given us brothers and sisters in Christ. People that we can, you know, have a relationship with. You know, God's given me a wonderful wife, you know, and four beautiful daughters and some great grandkids. And, you know, and there's so many good things that God has done for us. He's given me a wireless mic so I don't have to stand up here and hold this the whole time. I'm glad. I mean, that's sounds silly, but I really like that. You know, I like that I have indoor plumbing and I don't have to run outside to go to the bathroom. I bet you all enjoy that. Imagine that. One day that's what you had to do. And the list, I mean, you could just go on and on and on about the things that we can be thankful for in your own life. I'm thankful for all of you. If we really believe what God has told us in Romans 8:28, that says that God is working all things to the good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose, then that means we can thank God for every situation that we're in, for all the circumstances that we're involved in. All those things. It just means that God's working out stuff for us. The truth is that we don't deserve anything, and yet God has decided, because of His grace and mercy, to bless us abundantly. He's poured out His blessings upon us over and over. James 1:17 tells us that every good and perfect gift comes down to us from our Father above. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us and all that you're doing. I mean, it never stops. So what I want to do right now is I want to take a couple minutes and look at four different ways that people can respond to what life brings their way. Because we can all handle things in a different way. I just want to do a little bit of an illustration. So, Matt, you can bring me one of these in a minute. All right, what I want to do is look at the different ways that we can respond to the things that happen in our life. And I'm sure that you might recognize these different responses. You may have seen them in people around you. You may have responded some of these ways yourself at different times, and you know, you might, certain people might come to your mind, you might think of that, but I think we've probably all done each one of these at different times. Well, I'm going to look at four different ways, but when it comes to God, there's really only one right response out of these four. And so let's see if you can figure out which one is the right one. So, Helm, would you bring me up a little gift that you have for me? Yeah, go ahead, just bring it on up. Just hang out here for a minute. What's this?
It's a Bible.
I already got one of these. This
is a better one.
This is so small. I can't even read this.
Put your glasses on.
You know, I don't want to have to carry glasses all. I don't like this color either.
It's a beautiful color. It's leather.
You know, man, what do you expect me to do with this?
Give you guidance in your life.
I got a bunch at home.
You love these.
I got a bunch of these at home already. All right, you know. Okay, thank you. Chelsea, you want to bring me up my next gift? Oh, what's this?
It's a Bible.
Oh, okay, cool. Thanks. Matt, you want to bring me up my next gift? Oh, wow. Far out. this is what I've been wanting all along. Man, this is cool. This is cool. I really like this. I'm glad I got this. Good, good, good. Notice I just ignored him. Donovan, you got the other one, right? Wow, what's this?
It's Bible.
Wow, this is cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I've been really wanting one of these. This is really good. I really appreciate this.
You're welcome.
I really do. Thank you. Did you guys see what he gave me? This is really nice. This is special. This is a good thing. Thank you. All right, the first illustration from that I responded to Elma, she tried to give me something nice. She did. All I did was grumble and complain. You know, I used the Bible, but what I'm talking about is whatever God hands us in our life. I'm not just talking about Bibles. I'm talking about our situations, our life experiences, the things that we go through, whether it comes straight from the hand of God or whether it comes in some other way, it's still the things that we've been dealt with in our life. In Philippians 2:14, it says to do everything without complaining or arguing. So I went to the Greek and the Hebrew and I looked that up. And what it means is to do everything without grumbling and complaining. Right? That's what God is, you know. I mean, we can grumble and we can complain about anything. Our job, our marriage, our car, our work, our debt. You know, our age, our, you know, front of our house, the mess the kids made. I mean, you name it. We can start grumbling and complaining about anything. And we can certainly, I'm not saying that, you know, we can't change things. I mean, we can certainly work to change whatever situation we're in. And if it's not a good situation, that's exactly what we should do. We should work to improve our situation. We can pray to God for His help to change that situation. But we're not supposed to be going around and complaining all day and grumbling and especially complaining to God. I mean, and just going on about what He's given us and what He's been doing. So what I want to do is look quickly at what does God think of grumblers and complainers? Now, in the book of Numbers, chapter 14, it starts out in verse 27. It says, "How long will this wicked community grumble against me? I've heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites. So tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very things I have heard you say. In this desert, your bodies will fall. Every one of you, 20 years old or more, who is counted in the census and who has grumbled against me. Not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hand to make your home, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. As for your children that you said would be taken as plunder, I will bring them in to enjoy the land you have rejected. But you, your bodies will fall in this desert. Your children will be shepherds here for 40 years, suffering for your unfaithfulness until the last of your bodies lies in the desert. For 40 years, 1 year for each of the 40 days you explored the land and complained, you will suffer for your sins and know what it's like to have me against you. I, the Lord, have spoken and will surely do these things to this whole wicked community, which is banded together against me. They will meet their end in the desert. Here they will die. So the men Moses had sent to explore the land, this is verse 36, who returned and made the whole community grumble against him by spreading a bad report about it. These men responsible for spreading the bad report and their grumbling and complaining about the land were struck down and died of a plague before the Lord. These were the people that God had rescued out of Egypt. These were the people that God had performed miracles for over and over and over, given them food and shelter and meat and bread and water, and rescued them from their enemies, and guided them by a pillar of smoke in the day and fire at night, opened up the sea so they could cross, did all these things for them, and yet they kept coming back to this grumbling and complaining. God was getting really upset with them. So because of their complaining nature, what happened was their hearts were hardened towards God. And they became so rebellious, they eventually ended up rejecting God and suffered because of it. Now, the second Bible I received, that was, that was the one from, was that from Matt? Or no, that was from Chelsea. Yeah, okay. That was from Chelsea. That was having an indifferent attitude. You know, she gave it to me and it was like, oh, okay. Just threw it down, didn't really care. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21 through 27, it says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened." So it starts out by telling us that they knew God. They knew who He was. They knew that He, had all this building and that He had done all this and had given them these things. But they didn't glorify Him. They didn't give Him thanks. They were indifferent towards God. And so what happened is they began to regress. "Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore God gave them over to the sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even the women exchanged natural relations." And it goes on and on, and it just keeps going down and down. And it says they received the penalty for their perversion. All because they were indifferent to the things of God and indifferent to God Himself, they didn't glorify Him and give thanks. So their thinking got so screwed up. They thought they were wise. They became foolish. They started, loving things and loving, junk, worshiping something like man-made things and wanting this and wanting that and totally ignoring God, totally indifferent to God. They didn't glorify Him. And this is a deception that is facing many, many people in our world today, in this country today. So many people are totally indifferent to God. And instead, they are worshiping and serving the created things rather than the Creator. And they need to hear the truth from people like us. Because the world system, the school system, some of them, not all of them, some places, some a lot of the TV shows, a lot of the movies, a lot of the magazines, all around us, we're surrounded by constant barrage of attacks against God or an indifference towards God, where He's gone. And everything else is promoted. All the stuff we saw, that what the futile thinking brings, the foolish thinking brings, all the perversions, all that kind of stuff. If you notice, it's all the perversions that are now being honored and given special rights and special attention. All because, as a nation, we have stopped thanking God. You know that every president since George Washington has made a declaration of thanksgiving towards God, except for the last 6 years, this president that we have now? He doesn't care about our God. No matter what he says, you can judge a tree by its fruit. And he has refused to give thanks to God. And unfortunately, he's a byproduct of society. And many people agree with him. But we need to make sure that we are the ones who speak out and let people know. Why do we have Thanksgiving? Who are we thanking? Who are we thankful to? Are we thankful to the Indians from back then because they gave us some food or showed us some things? Are we thankful to, you know, the store owners who open up on Thanksgiving? Are we thankful to the, you know, to the government for what they give us? Who are we thankful to? We're thankful to God. We have the truth, and that truth is the antidote to the poison that is being poured out on our society today. Isaiah 52:7, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation and say, in Zion, your God reigns. How beautiful are the feet. In other words, when you go out and you spread the gospel, you share the gospel, you are a blessing to those who hear from you. Maybe not everyone's going to take it in right away, but when we share it, those seeds are being planted. We have to make sure we never become indifferent to the things of God. We have to make sure we never let that fire go out inside of us. So we need to stay close, you know, to the source, who is God Himself. Draw near to God, as we've been talking about. As we're near to Him, that thankful heart is constantly lit up. It's constantly inspired or inflamed. The third illustration was appreciating the gift. That was Matt, more than the giver. You notice I just totally ignored Matt. I was just enthralled with what he gave me. Luke 17, chapter 17, verse 12, it's talking about Jesus, and as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. They all got healed. 10 of them got healed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Didn't all 10 of you guys get healed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except a foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Out of 10, one was thankful. 9 out of 10, 90%, were not thankful. They were so excited about their healing that they didn't care who did it for them. They were just happy to be healed, and so they just went on their merry way and totally forgot about the one who had performed a miracle for them. So often we run after the things of God, or we just run after things in general. So many people do. But God is calling us to run after Him, to get close to Him, to desire Him and His kingdom. Seek first His kingdom, and then these things shall be added unto you. Because if we run after the things first, we miss out on the whole point. And finally, we saw the last illustration, which was meant to show true thanksgiving. Donovan brought it up, and I tried to receive that thankfully. I was appreciative. I was happy that he gave that to me. And, you know, I declared, you know, I praised him for giving it to me. And I wanted to show that to everybody, what he had done. And just like what God does for us, we should thank him and show appreciation, and we should declare his praises and let others know how good God is and how God has blessed us. Let people know that we are blessed and highly favored. Charlie was telling me the other day, he's outside now there, but he was telling me, yeah, Pastor, I remember when you said that about being blessed and highly favored. He goes, I keep thinking that, and I tell that to people now. And it's good because we are blessed and highly favored. It's so important to have a thankful heart. Every grateful thought adds fire. You know, it makes us want to get close to God. I mean, thankfulness adds, you know, I mean, it draws us closer to God. It gets us more excited about Him, and it causes us to want to, you know, to come close to Him. And then when we do get close to Him, when we do get to know Him more, then we start to talk about Him more, and we begin to, you know, speak about Him and what He's done to others. So it begins to stir things up inside of us. But an ungrateful heart causes grumbling and complaining and indifference and eventually rebellion, which can lead to death. Little gratitude is the secret for little happiness. You know, the more grateful, the more thankful we are, the happier we're going to be. If we have no gratitude in us, if we have no thankful, we don't recognize all the good that's coming into our life, we're not going to be very happy. You've probably seen professional grumblers around or professional complainers. You may have. I've seen a few in my days. You can usually see it written right on their face. You see them coming and you know, oh no. Here they come. Here we go. To be ungrateful brings out many amazing qualities in a person. It really does. They become joyless. They become rebellious. They become hostile, jealous, envious, greedy, selfish, angry, proud, arrogant, anxious, demanding, unsatisfied. And I could go on explaining. This is like the fruit of an ungrateful or a thankless tree. This is what we can expect. It's like Scrooge. Think of him. No wonder God wants us to be thankful. I mean, what kind of a witness would we be walking around like that? You need to be a Christian. It's just, everything stinks around here. Nobody goes, nobody does that. You need to be saved. You're going to go to hell. And just, you know, I mean, who would want to ever follow that person to Christ? Nobody wants to follow them. They want to run away from them. A gratitude is totally different. It does something totally different inside of us. When we take on that thankful attitude, when we have that gratitude in our hearts, what happens is joy starts to well up inside of us. There's a happiness, there's a joy, there's a peace that comes upon us. We're satisfied, there's satisfaction. We become more obedient to the things of God because we see how good it is and how blessed we've become, and we're content with what we have because we're thankful for all that we have. We become fulfilled. We feel fulfilled. We feel full of love. We feel loved because we're so thankful. We know that somebody is doing good unto us, and so we're loved. We know we're loved. We know we're blessed. We become more friendly, and people want to be around us. Because we're thankful. People enjoy hanging out with appreciative people. God wants us to be a light to the world, not a black hole. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and for that we can be thankful. When we are thankful, we feel good about what God is doing in our life. We just trust that whatever God's doing, He's doing good in our life. You know, I can't always see it, but I trust that He's doing good in my life. Our anxiety begins to go away and we begin to walk in peace. We can say, you know what? I like what God's doing in my life because I'm thankful. I like the way He's changing me. I like what He's doing, like Ray shared today, you know? I like what God's doing in my life, how He's changing me, where I'm not just like hiding away on holidays anymore, but I'm learning to step out. I like how God is bringing me through things, even though sometimes we go through some stuff, it may not be fun, our trials, the things that tribulations that we go through, but we count them as joy because we know that God's doing something good in us, so we can be thankful for that. We can feel good about Christ in us, our hope of glory. We can be thankful that we can do all things through Christ Jesus, who is in us. In Luke chapter 17, we talked about those 10 lepers a minute ago. I didn't really say much about the one who came back, but it says, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked Him. And He's the one that Jesus commended. He's the one that I'm sure God would want to bless even more. Only one of 10 were truly thankful for what God had done. Are we going to be one of those 10? Are we among that 10%? And what happened there? He came back and He threw Himself at the feet of Jesus. That's something that we need to see. That thankfulness, when we are thankful, it brings us back to God. It draws us closer to God. We've been talking about drawing near to God, drawing closer to God. When we're thankful and we want to express that appreciation, we have to go to God to express it. And as we get in His presence, we begin to feel once again that love, that joy, that, you know, all the things of God begin to well up inside of us. The Spirit of God is in us is excited then because we're in the presence of God and we get closer to Him and we feel loved by Him. The more thankful we are, the more we will recognize how much God loves us, how much He blesses us. And the more we recognize that, the more we'll want to be with Him. The more we're with Him, the more we're going to recognize it. It just starts a pattern that goes on. So I want to close today by reading a psalm and having you say the response that goes with it. It's not something we do too often. I have done it a few times in the past, maybe even this psalm. These are the kind of things that they used to do sometimes all the way back in the temple or in, you know, when the ark, when the priests were there at the ark and they were saying these psalms or prayers or praising, and sometimes they would have the people respond. And it does something inside of us when we respond, when we say certain things about God, and it begins to cause something to stir up inside of us. So I want you to picture yourself standing there with David. There's the Ark of God, and there's the priests, and they're instructing us, and I'm just sort of standing in for them right now, and they're saying, we want you to join us today as we worship God. We want you to respond to the things that, you know, we'll make a statement and you respond and we'll all do this together. And imagine you got the nation of Israel behind you and you got all these people behind you and you know, we're brought together. You know, and here's David, the leader, you know, a great leader who brought a nation to a place of worship. And God wants us to be in that place. So the response is, his love endures forever. And this is right out of the scripture. I just want you to say, his love endures forever. I didn't write it down, but I think it's Psalm 136. You know that one, Pastor Don? Is that it? Psalm 136? I forgot to write what psalm it is. I think that's it, though. And so I'm going to read the first part, and you can have it up there if you want, but it's real simple to read, to answer. His love endures forever. And I want that, you know, listen to what I say, and then just what we're saying, his love endures forever. In other words, God is just going to, he's going to keep doing it. All these things that I'm going to read, it's God is not, he's not dead. He's inside, roaring like a lion as he's singing that song. God is alive. God is here today. So if you would join me and respond, and it's important for us to be thankful, and this will help to bring that thankfulness out. So I just ask you to go along with this. All right? So it starts out, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders. His love endures forever. Who spreads out the earth upon the waters. His love endures forever. Who made the great lights. His love endures forever. The sun to govern the day. His love endures forever. The moon and stars to govern the night. His love endures forever. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, his love endures forever. And brought Israel out from among them, his love endures forever. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, his love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder, his love endures forever. And brought Israel through the midst of it. His love endures forever. But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. His love endures forever. To him who led his people through the desert. His love endures forever. Who struck down great kings. His love endures forever. And killed mighty kings. His love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, his love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, his love endures forever. And gave their land as an inheritance, his love endures forever. An inheritance to his servant Israel, his love endures forever. Remember, now we've become the spiritual Israel too. So all these blessings, you know, they're specific things that happen to them, but the idea is that the blessings of God are being poured out on his people. To the one who remembered us in our low estate, his love endures forever. And freed us from our enemies. And who gives food to every creature, his love endures forever. And I could say, and who has forgiven us our sin, his love endures forever. And who has sent his son Jesus to die for us, his love endures forever. And who has washed us now white as snow, his love endures forever. And has given us one another, his love endures forever. In the last verse, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his love endures forever. And we could go on and on and on about the things that God has done for us, the things that God is doing, and the things that God will do. And if I could have the prayer team come forward, we're going to close. And I just want to remind you, you know, to keep that thankful attitude in your hearts and use that to draw you closer to Christ, to draw near to God. Hallelujah. We're going to close in prayer. And I just want to invite you, you know, maybe God has put something on your heart that you need prayer for. Maybe you just need to be having a more thankful attitude. Or maybe it's something else you need prayer for. Whatever it might be. Just let, you know, we've called these people up here to pray for you. And we just ask that, you know, you just let the anointing of God come upon you as they lay hands on you to pray for you. The blessing of God come into you as they pray for you. And, you know, there's something about taking a step of faith when we come up and get prayer. It's always good. You know, when we step out and we get out of ourselves, and we say, all right, I'll go. I will take a step of faith and just ask God to take care of this. And we just have to say just the basic. We don't have to go into all the details. And we just say the basic thing and let, because God knows our hearts. Hallelujah. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for this message. We thank you for all that you've given us, Lord. We thank you because you are worthy of thanksgiving, Lord God. You are worthy of all thanksgiving. And we praise you and we honor you. We give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. And Lord, we thank you for the any snacks that we might have upstairs, Lord God, the fellowship, this time together. We thank you for this past Thursday, for our Thanksgiving, for our families, Lord God. We thank you for even the upcoming days and weeks ahead, Lord God. We thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. Don't forget about the women's Orman Exchange. Sign up on those lists out there, too.